Fly ball, left field. It's deep. And it is grand slam. Reese Hoskins is a bomb into the second deck for Bryce Harper. How about this for a homecoming? That is crushed. Craig and a miss, and the ball game is over.
Hey guys, and welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast, episode number 18, I think it's 18, and as you can see, if you're watching us on YouTube, hi guys, as ever, I am joined by Ryan, up there in the northwest. How are you, Ryan?
That is me. I'm very well. Welcome to my lovely abode, bookshelf full of books that I've never read, obviously.
This is the first time you've probably seen us, so that's Ryan. And Alex over there, are you still in Vermont?
Yes, I am. I'm in a lovely apartment in Vermont. It is very bare, but it gets the job done. I can live here.
It's good. Is it cold up there? I can imagine it's freezing this time of year.
It's freezing. It's freezing. Yeah. It's actually, I love it. And it's very pretty. The leaves are turning really nice colors. And
cool. Yeah. So you're in that like full it. That full season, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Turn.
See, we don't really get that here. Like, I look out now and it's either the leaves were there last week, now they're gone. We've had one storm that's blowing them all out.
It's football season, Dave. I mean, talking of which, do you want to talk about football this week, Dave? Or are you done?
Look, Ryan. This is not discussing the brief.
Okay, let's do baseball.
What NFL season?
I'm sorry.
Is there still games going on? Like,
yeah, no, Super Bowl already happened, I think.
Yeah.
Patriots did a great job.
I'm fully on soccer focus now. Forget anything else. So we're going to discuss the Kapler firing and everything surrounding it, the press conference, the candidates, your thoughts and opinions on Twitter and Facebook. There's lots to get through. First of all, bit of admin. Ryan, exciting news. The new website is launching next week, Ryan.
Certainly is. We will aim for Monday. We will launch on Monday. So bear with us, guys. There may be a few teething issues. And if you have any, please do constructively tell us. You know, if you're having trouble logging in, there will be a way for you guys to become members. Listeners can join the site, comment, like. Blogs will be on there. Content will be dropping all the time. Alex will be contributing with his articles. I will be contributing. I'm sure that you will be contributing, Dave, and fans can contribute as well. So, you know, this is going to be a fun, exciting venture for us and a new way for us to get Phillies content to Phillies fans.
Lovely, Ryan. Well said. Yeah, absolutely. It's as Ryan just said, Dave, he's done a brilliant job on it as well. Ryan has put it all together for us. Personally, Ryan, I can't thank you enough, buddy. It is experimental. Great. It is at the moment. So any constructive criticism is most welcome.
Constructive being the key.
Yeah, good. Constructive. I know how ruthless and savage you guys can get. So
they're all coming for me now that you've told them that.
Yeah. Ryan did it. Ryan did it all, by the way. No, don't come to me personally. So that's exciting. And of course, we're trying this YouTube venture again as well. And this is sort of an experiment as well. I'm going to mix this up with some images and graphics and text and try and put the podcast out as a visual show as well. So again, bear with us slightly on this. So let's get to the core. After 10 days of deciding, the Phillies decided to sack Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler, after two seasons, 324 games in charge. He won 161, lost 163. Middleton said it took so long because he wanted to ask all the staff and all the players and everybody around the ball club what their opinions was. Klentak wanted him to stay. Middleton had his mind up by June that he wanted Kapler gone. He was told that it's unprecedented to sack a manager during the year, which is why he held on till now. So, guys, what do you make of this? It's odd. 10 days after Middleton had his mind made up by June, now he's waited 10 days after the season. Is it out of respect for Gabe, really? Constructing everyone's opinions, really taking his time over this, or should this have been done straight after the season? Alex.
it's hard to say what you should do. There's no real etiquette in this situation. You know, there's no written rule of when you should and when you shouldn't fire your manager. It's a real shame because, you know, there's always growing pains for anyone starting a new job. And Gabe was obviously a new manager, new to, you know, the whole managerial side of things. He was in development before this. And, you know, being the face of the franchise can be, it has a lot of pressure to it. So, you know, I think whoever they choose as a replacement better do a good job, because Cap was pretty good, despite public opinion and things like that. Even Middleton said during the conference, he said that public opinion was actually split on Cap when he talked to the people that he talked to. So, you know, Cap was thoughtful. Cap was, he took a lot of risks. And ultimately, you know, 161 and 163 for a club that wasn't exactly ready to contend yet as of last year. Obviously, this year was a little bit different, but that's not an awful record.
This is what gets me as well. Everyone says there's so many holes in the club. There's so many holes to fill. We've been decimated by injuries. But that's not Kappa's fault, is it, really?
No. What I always like to say about Cap is that he did the best he could with the cards he was dealt. And, you know, that's not in any way incriminating Matt Klentak, because Andy McPhail said it himself. You know, if we don't, we don't. If you go into, you know, the last half of the season with that kind of mindset, what are you going to get out of it? You know, you trade for Corey Dickerson. You trade for, you know, that, and that's basically it. That's your predominant move of midseason. And then you stand pat. And I mean, there are so many little upgrades that they could have made with, you know, trading for Mike Leake, who was, you know, acquired for nothing, or trading for Aaron Sanchez, who also was packaged with Joe Biagini, who, you know, great bullpen arm. It's the fact that they didn't want to squander any resources that they could use towards next year, towards years that they're not competing for the second wild card, which I understand. But I feel like a lot of that got pinned on Gabe Kapler. I mean, they could have made some marginal moves to have a little bit of a better record. What, like 86 and, you know, whatever the math is there, and it's too early for me. But, you know, they could have achieved 86 wins or something like that. Would that make the situation better? No.
No, I don't think so.
So, technically, the approach they ended up taking was the right approach, even though it feels like the worst approach.
And Ryan, do you think Klentak's still lucky to be there? Because that was Kapler's guy. You know, they got rid of Sandberg, who wasn't doing a bad job for Gabe Kapler. Klentak's man, he was backing him all the way to the very end. Middleton came in and got rid of him. That puts Klentak under a little bit of pressure to get this one right. If he doesn't get this right, he has to go. He has to be next, doesn't he?
It puts Klentak under pressure to get this one right, but it also makes me question whether this decision will be Klentak's. Because at the end of the day, if Klentak hired Kapler or was instrumental in the hiring of Kapler and then backed him even after the 2 years that we've just seen, if that manager's now gone, does he actually have the power that he needs to do the GM role sufficiently? And really, the interview yesterday, if anyone managed to get through the full hour without sort of gouging their own eyes out, really, it rang alarm bells mainly about John Middleton. And I don't want to be negative towards any one person and throw one person under the bus, because that isn't who I am. And this is an organization and a team of people, and everyone to some degree is responsible for the place that that organization is in. But I am concerned slightly, having seen that, because is John Middleton an owner that is arguably exerting too much influence right now? And is he qualified as a baseball decision maker over and above the GM that he hired? I really don't understand the dynamics of what happened yesterday, if I'm honest.
It certainly comes across as Middleton's running the show, doesn't it? You know, he was behind the Male sacking. He was behind, ultimately, people say Harper coming in, behind the Kapler sacking. Alex, would you go with that? Middleton seems coming across as if he's running the show, isn't he?
So what he said yesterday was that you know, as the owner, as the CEO, he makes big decisions. And, you know, the Maley firing, that was a pretty big decision at that point. Somebody had to go. You know, the Kapler firing, he said that he had to be sure that he was going to see a different result next year. And if he wasn't absolutely positive that he was going to see a different result, he didn't want Kapler around. So there was obviously a little bit of doubt there, which I understand. If you doubt your manager, then why would you go into another season with him heading up your operation?
Yeah.
He also mentioned the Harper signing. You know, of course he's going to have influence in that. It's sure. $330 million of his money, you know, like, but then he also mentioned that, like, if they're going to go out and sign a relief pitcher, like some, you know, $4 million relief pitcher, he doesn't want any part in that dealing. He doesn't call the shots there. That's up to the analytics department. That's up to Matt Klentak. That's up to the guys that are building the team. But when it comes to the big decisions, he wants say in it because that, in a company, in a business company, that's the CEO's sure. job. He gets the final say.
What do we think next for Gabe Kapler? There's some talker he may go back to the
He's coming
Giants.
On the podcast.
I texted him yesterday, and I just wanted to thank him and all that for everything that he did for me personally. And I told him that he, no matter where he goes, he's gonna be successful. His managerial career will blossom with the right team, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
People like to say that he wasn't very good at relating with the media, but when it comes to myself...
What? Seriously? I thought he was outstanding when he came to the media. Like, he always said what was on his mind. He was very honest, very frank.
Proof of that. Because he reached out to me originally to thank me for my work, which was something he did not have to do. And it's, you know, that means the world to somebody like me. And, you know, and he did that for some of my coworkers as well, which... You know, it's incomparable. It's really fantastic of him to do something like that. And it shows that he cares. And he really does. I believe that he does. So I think wherever he goes, he will succeed.
I hope so as well. I generally hope so.
Me
and
too.
I think a team will take a pun on him and his approach. They may shift completely to what they're doing now and go to that analytic approach and back him, you know, give him, say, look, you've got a few years here, actually. Build the team you want to build on the numbers that you have. Get your team in and then show us what you can do.
He will
learn from his mistakes as well. He has made some mistakes, but he will learn from those. He's a clever, clever man.
I just want to say on that, Dave, and you've touched on something important. You know, if Gabe is going to be successful somewhere and the future of what happens with the Phillies may actually show us that he was somewhat successful with the cards that he was dealt at the Phillies, by the way, which is what Alex has already touched on. There's a very real chance that the next manager doesn't do as well. That could happen. And then we may look back on this period and say, whoa. Okay, but if Gabe is going to have true success, the whole organization has to be in cohesion around a certain model. And you just touched on that, Dave, which is spot on. You know, Gabe makes analytical decisions with his in-game management and with his roster construction, but the Phillies are not going to stop making analytical decisions in the front office. You know, Klentak is still in post. They've gone down this route of analytics. And what worries me more than the firing and what worries me more than the potential sort of press on Klentak's role and how much influence he's having with Middleton is that we have to find as an organization, how far do we want to go with our analytically driven model? And are we all on the same hinge sheet? Now, there's a difference between analytics in game and analytics in the front office. Analytics is always going to power a front office in modern baseball, unless your organization is so far buried in the sand that you've completely missed the boat, like, unless that is the case. So there's always going to be a degree of it, but we really have to decide now where this organization is going.
Yeah, and fast as well.
And together Middleton as a team, you know?
Yeah.
Middleton mentioned that yesterday. He said that he recognizes that all of the teams in the postseason right now are analytically driven teams with, you know, departments 50 to 100% larger than ours, or 50 to 100% larger than ours, which is, you know, those are big market teams, yes, but so are we. The Phillies are a big market team. I mean,
you can have an analytically driven front office but have a manager that doesn't necessarily make in-game analytically driven. I mean, Gabe was very, not, I don't want to say Gabe was one-dimensional because he wasn't, but Gabe has his theories and he is very much entrenched in those theories. And I respect that. You know, that's a man who believes in something and shows in his product that he believes in something. And that is absolutely fine. But you can still use analytics, but say, actually, we do want a manager that sort of blends the two schools. We do want a manager that makes the players feel perhaps a little bit more loved. Maybe sometimes the players want that traditional voice around the ballpark because they are humans after all. And if they feel like they're just a statistic at times, perhaps that does affect them. So I'm sure John Middleton, to his credit, will have had these sorts of conversations with the Phillies players.
Yeah, well, they really have to make sure they pick the right guy as the replacement, because like you said, if somebody else comes in and does, you know, just as bad with the resources, granted it's due to be a fully complete team next year. You know, if somebody comes in and does poorly, I mean, they have to be sure they're getting the right guy. They have to know that they have a shot at whoever their top choice is, because I mean, most of the managerial slots are looking pretty clear cut. I mean, Girardi looks pretty clear for, you know, the Cubs or the Mets, and Joe Maddon looks pretty clear cut for the Angels. So that leaves you with what, Buck Showalter?
Well, Alex, we'll touch on the candidates very shortly.
Right. We will
touch on that very shortly. I just want to go back to the press conference quickly. I watched it all this morning and didn't realize it was an hour long of. Oh, I rather watch paint dry. It was just nothing from it. Even Matt Klentak didn't look like he wanted to be there. Or McPhail half the time. They all look. It was awkward watching it. It was quite awkward. I was looking at Klentak thinking, was any of them briefed even before this interview, this conference? Klentak saying wins matter, September baseball matters. He gets why it was sacked, but still backed him captain to the high hill. Middleton, his quote, "We're going to be looking for someone who can appreciate the organization that we have and the culture that's been developed here and embrace that and obviously put their own spin on it." It's all pretty much obvious stuff, wasn't it? It was just nothing. I don't know. Every time I listen to McPhail talk, I'm like,
I know.
Come on, fills me with no confidence.
There was no cohesion to it, was there? That's what I'm trying to drive at. These are the three men that should be working together as a team, pulling. They may have different ideas, and that's positive. People should have different ideas, but they should be on the same page in an hour long. There should be some cohesion.
Yeah. All in all, the Phillies have a very busy offseason. New manager, new coaches, new players, and securing JT is quite an important issue as well, which they're going to have to do this summer. So let's see what you guys said on Facebook and Twitter. I put it out there the other day, and plenty of you have got in touch. Drew Ashurst says, "The young and up-and-coming coach who took over the hitting seems to have a bright future." Martha Gabal says, "It's a shame, but had to be done. Too bad they didn't get many pitching to help, though." See, a lot of fans, actually, I thought it would be all Kapler, good, good, good. But there was a lot of fans coming up saying, Kapler, like you said earlier on, Alex, he did what he could with the hand he had. You know, Reese Lightning says, "Anyone but Buck Showalter." Jeffrey Branch says, "I never disliked Kapler. As he was set up as the organization fall guy. As for who I want to replace him, Joe Maddon or Joe Girardi." Joe Girardi is pretty much top of everyone's list, or Joe Maddon. Tamara says Maddon. "If it's Girardi, I've told my Yankees." I'm not going to read to finish that one. yeah, I'm not finishing that. That turned dramatically at the end. I'm glad I stopped myself there.
Censored.
That was close.
I'll read it later.
Yeah, read it on the thread later. It's from Tamara. Yeah, I can't finish that. It's funny, but I can't finish it. Terrence says someone with a good baseball mind. I don't need a splashy big name, but someone who isn't trying to get cute with the lineup and changes or relief pitching. It's just nearly all Girardi, James P. Kane, Girardi. Anyone not Girardi? Anyone or Madden?
Good luck.
Girardi, Madden. Wouldn't be surprised if we get... Yes, Brian Baller says, wouldn't be surprised if you get Buck Showalter. A lot of people saying that as well. I don't know about that. Shishosa.
He reminds me of my friend's dad. I don't mind. He's got a cute... He actually does remind me actually of my friend's dad. That is a true story. I don't just mean like a generic friend's dad.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're going to have a chat about it. I kind of don't mind the idea of Buck Showalter because he seems to be quite an open-minded traditionalist to me. He talks in a sensible manner, and he's not sort of... He might be a nice blend between the two schools if we were going to go in a slightly different direction. I certainly don't think he's an analytical sort, but he may just have the right tone to at least appease the front office, is what I'm driving at.
I tell you what, I'll go through the contenders and we'll do the pros and cons for the contenders and who we'd like... I've heard a lot of people say the Phillies aren't the most attractive choice compared to the Cubs and the Mets. We're not as ready. But on the other hand, I agree with that. It's rubbish. Come on.
I can't believe people think that is something that actually... I mean, when you look at the Padres or you look at the the Rays or anybody, that makes a difference when you have such a pipeline of players due to come up and, you know, there's obvious future in the team. But are you kidding me? The excuse saying that we have, you know, that it's a pile of trash and that, you know, you would miss out on the chance to manage one of the decade's greatest players, that you would miss out on the chance to, you know, have to not worry about the catcher that you have to sign. Like, that is such a big part of the game. Like, we'll talk about it, but
The one biggest plus is the money in the new manager does not affect the luxury tax, so we can get that checkbook out and we can give them whatever they want. Not only that, but they get to choose their own hitting and pitching coach, and that could be quite a lure for any new manager. I thought that was pretty common in baseball. I know over here in soccer, once the manager goes, his whole coaching staff goes, and they're usually a team that go to different clubs together. I didn't realize it wasn't so much in baseball, but it's an attractive option to be able to pick your own team. You know, your own arguably of your most important. I know your bench coach is important, but a hitting and pitching coach is just as important. They're going to get the choice of that as well, and possibly other coaches. I know we've re-signed other coaches, but the new manager comes in like Girardi and says, like, actually, I want my guy in charge of doing what he's doing. Then the Phils will pay him off and get the new guy in. So let's go through the contenders. Let's go through the first one. It emerged at Curt Schilling. Put his name forward.
I don't even want to talk about it.
He's not on the list. Come on.
I hope he's not even considered. He can't be, can he? Surely.
He can't be given an interview. If he is given an interview, I don't know what I'll do. I just, especially as a Philly fan of Hebrew faith, it hurts to see his name brought up. Bob Nightingale just needs to go somewhere far away. I mean, to even bring that up, I think is a miserable thing to do.
For those maybe who don't know the story, for those in the UK and watching and listening who don't quite know the backstory behind this, could you just quickly fill those people in, Alex?
Curt Schilling is, if you know the story of Lenny Dykstra, who has managed to go completely insane since departing from the Phillies. Curt Schilling is essentially a white nationalist, and he's incredibly racist and anti-Semitic, and is just not a good person. He was a brilliant pitcher in baseball. He, hopefully won't be a Hall of Famer, but he's getting closer and closer. But he's a horrible person. He's made multitudes of comments on social media and even on live television and radio that are just not appropriate.
Yeah.
And he's an awful human being, and
It'll be a complete insult to Kapler. They sacked him and even interviewed someone like this man. We'll quickly move on from that to the serious contenders. First off, Dusty Baker, 70 years old, 3,500 games in charge. He won 1,863 of those. He lost 1,636 of those. A winning percentage of 0.532. One pennant with the Nationals and the Giants. So, Dusty Baker, what do you reckon, guys?
Yeah, I'm a fan. You know, Dusty got a lot of flack for his pitching use in Chicago. You know, when he had Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor and guys like that. But he also was he was up ahead of one of the greatest rotations of this decade in Scherzer, Strasburg. I got it. Hold on. Roark, and there's one more that I'm missing. I can't remember. Anyway, you know, he has been in charge of some really, really good teams. I mean, his 2 years that he was with the Nationals, I think he won like 190 games in total.
Yeah, on a pennant.
Yeah, I mean, well, and he brought them to the playoffs twice. I mean, you know, and obviously I don't have the statistics and things in front of me, but you know, he's a really, really good option. He's definitely a legitimate option. He also has links with McPhail from when they were with the Cubs. So I know that that's why he's been connected. So I wouldn't mind it. I actually like the idea of Dusty Baker for sure.
Yeah. Ryan? Yes.
You don't, as I said earlier, the two things are different. The front office can continue to do its work in an analytically driven manner, even if someone like Dusty Baker is skeptical of how that links into in-game management. He doesn't need to necessarily say, oh, I'm pulling Aaron Nola, even though he's used 80 pitches because I need to get a lefty to face a lefty. He doesn't need to do that. The research on whether that is beneficial or not is sketchy anyway, to say the least. So that's situational managing, and the Phillies can hire Baker. He's a good manager.
Excellent. That's a yes for Dusty Baker. We'll let Middleton know that we approve of that one. interesting one. I can't see it happening, but Joe Espada, the Astros bench coach?
He's
been linked. Now, I don't know much about this guy. I don't know if you guys do. Would you see him a fit here?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good reputation. And I know that the Astros especially hold him very high in terms of regard. So I definitely don't mind it. I would like somebody. I think they're going to go with somebody with a little more experience managerially, like a head of the ship kind of role. But I could see it. He'll definitely get a shot.
We got John Farrell, 57 years old. Hold on, Alex. Games 1,134 in charge. He won 586, lost 548, a win percentage of 517. A World Series with the Red Sox. Alex, you've got your doubts over that one?
Yeah. There's a reason that he, you know, didn't stay with the Red Sox is all I'll say. He's definitely, if you're looking for a, I mean, maybe his approach has changed, but if you're looking for a real gut feel manager, that's probably the way you would go. I'm not a very big Farrell fan at all, but you know, it could work out. It depends. I mean, he's not my ideal choice, but you know, maybe.
Should we put a maybe in the middle there, Ryan? Sure. Anything to add on that?
I'm not entirely against it. I mean, personally, I would like someone who is probably a little, not softer. I want someone who's authoritative, but probably a little softer spoken and perhaps can balance the front office with the other side of things a little differently. You know, the fans obviously have a bit of they have a want for some traditionalism as well. And I think balancing the two is important right now.
So we'll put a meh. For Joe Farrell. Just a
it doesn't excite me. It doesn't excite me.
All right then, Joe Girardi, 54 years old, 1,782 games in charge, 988 wins, 794 losses, a win percentage of 5.54. World Series winners with the Yankees in 2009, also manager of the year. favorite with the majority of the fans. He's favorite to go to the Cubs or the Mets. But for you guys, should we go all out and get Girardi? Is he top of the list?
For me personally, yes. Just because he feels like the best option on the market in general. I mean, he has a brilliant baseball mind, and he is known for standing up for his players when he has to. So he'll obviously get in their face and he'll hold them accountable, which is something that people didn't like so much about Gabe. And, you know, Girardi to me is just, he's a clear cut manager. He is very good at what he does. And I'm very surprised that he's not currently with the team. And I was also very surprised when he took his TV position, but now he is due to come back. And I think he's going to be really successful wherever he goes. But that said, I do think the Cubs are definitely in more of a pressing situation.
Is he from Illinois, isn't he? Originally, just outside of Chicago, I believe. Heard he's from the area, which is why he's a story for him to go back there. And
sure.
As he's brought also, up.
You know, they have a very small window, weak farm system, crazy payroll. I mean, their time to compete is closing. So they're in more need than we are, as weird as that is to say. And the Mets, you know, he loves New York. So
yeah,
maybe I don't see him going to the Mets. I see the Mets looking at maybe Carlos Beltran, I think would be a really great candidate for them. But, you know, if we can get Girardi, I think he's the best option on the market. So
I'd love it. Yeah, he's my number one favorite. Ryan?
I think he'd be smart to choose Philly. I'm not just saying that as a Phillies fan. He was the Yankees manager. If he takes the Mets position, I think that comes with, yes, you could say, oh, he loves New York and that's why he's done it. I think that it doesn't taint his time with the Yankees. He was an excellent Yankees manager, but I do think there'd be an element of half of New York thinking, oh, I'm not that keen on that. And you know what? Philly's fiery. Like, the Yankees are some of the most passionate fans in baseball. Phillies, I know the Cubs is a great ball club, but the Phillies have that New York, East Coast. This is passion. He can take that criticism. He's going to get criticized. Even Joe Girardi, if he starts losing games, he's going to get some heat. And he can deal with that, you know?
Yes, he can. But I am also sure that those who watched the Yankees in 2009 would not exactly love seeing Joe Girardi in red pinstripes.
Not true. So, true.
Sure. Talking about tainting. We'll see.
But, sure. And I may just be dreaming a little, but I think the fit for him, he is a smart baseball nine. I think the Phillies, of the three clubs you've mentioned, the Phillies are almost in the best position of those three ball clubs if we're saying, what can you do in the next 4 to 5 years? And it might not be immediate, but when you're coming into a club and you've got Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto on the lineup sheet straight away, and those guys are only 26 years old, and the offense is pretty damn good around them anyway, how much does this Phillies pro ball club really have to do to go from 500 to 10 games over 500?
Yeah, but it's all about playoffs, though, isn't it? It's all about September, October baseball.
Yeah, but the Nationals only finished 12 games above the Phillies, and they're probably going to the World Series. So we're talking about winning 10 to 15 more games. That's the job.
Well, we're talking about winning really, like, well, yes, 15 more games, but we're talking about, we want to pass the Braves. We want to. We want to win the division. I don't care what anybody says. It's about winning the division. Now it's about having a clear cut spot in the playoffs, because this year we were supposed to try and win the division, and we didn't. So now it's about winning the division. Now it's about getting to a World Series. And you know what? We have a very unique position, because the Braves and Nationals, I don't want to get off topic here, Braves and Nationals have an immense amount of holes popping up to free agency.
The Nats couldn't they? This could be their last hurrah, couldn't it? Really?
The Nationals need a first baseman, they need a second baseman, they need a third baseman, they need maybe a right fielder if they let Eaton go, they need a catcher, they
pitcher
need
if Scherzer
at least
goes.
Two more pitchers.
Or Strasburg, if, yeah, if Strasburg one of those, goes, aren't they? Yeah,
they need a whole bullpen. I mean, that's crazy. The Braves need a third baseman, they need a right fielder because of Markakis, they need a catcher, they need a whole bunch of pitching help unless they're planning to go back in with prospects, they need a whole bunch of bullpen help. I mean, we're looking at these guys, these two teams have to have immensely good off seasons if they're going to try and maintain their winning pace. And the Phillies will, after the season ends and the free agents are, you know, everything is figured out, the Phillies will have the most complete team in the East, pretty much. That's not, I mean, actually, the Mets.
You are so positive. I love this guy.
It's the most complete, just roster wise, it's the most filled out team. The Mets arguably have a more filled out roster than the Phillies do because of rotation wise. But I mean, when you look at it just that way, both of those teams have to have a lot of things break right in this offseason in order to make. To maintain their success.
I certainly agree with the Nationals. I think the Braves are still pretty strong. I mean, if the lineup's got Freeman and Acuna ready to go, like, straight away, then that's an offense.
Isn't Freeman in free agency? Or is something around Freeman that's not...
He got hurt, apparently.
I think the Braves are pretty strong. I have to be honest. I think the Braves are in a pretty decent position, even if they have to add to the lineup with some holes. If Acuna and Freeman are right there in the meat of the lineup, and they do have a lot of pitching depth, I think the Braves are pretty well set up to be very competitive for the next few years.
Yes, I agree with you, but things have to go right this offseason is what I'm saying. They don't...
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to cut Teheran loose, if they're losing Dallas Keuchel...
Markakis
They just bring up Bryce Wilson. I mean, Max Fried can start. It's not really a problem. I mean, they're going to be fine.
That's like us starting with Vince Velasquez and Nick Pivetta. Mm. Bryce Wilson was horrible in the majors.
Yeah. I love the discussion. I love this.
Slightly going off.
You can see me now.
No. But I do just want to say, you know, that's the mindset that we came into this year.
Sure.
Didn't pay off. That's not how that works. I mean, Kyle Wright blew up. Bryce Wilson blew up. Ian Anderson is terrifying, but who knows? I mean, we're talking about, yes, they have pitching depth, but as we've learned, you can't rely on that purely based upon what your analysts, what your prospects, we can go
get a starting pitcher from the free agency pool, but the Braves can do the same as well. But the Braves can also say, well, we've got Max Fried, Bryce Wilson, Kyle Wright, Tuki Toussaint, all these guys. And so then they've got free agent additions plus a load of young guys that could come good.
All right, guys, let's rein it in from I knew this would happen. I could have put money on this. I could have put money on this Dal verging off to the Braves. Have you scared Alex off? Well. Where's he gone?
No, I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm on a short time limit.
Okay, we're nearly done. Right, let's wrap up. Joe Maddon was next up, 65 years old, 2,321 games, a winning percentage of 519. World Series, of course, with the Cubs. Two pennants with the Cubs and the Rays. Three managers of the year. On paper, this guy is again another top candidate, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. And you know, while I'm not his biggest fan, I think that because you know he used to be ahead of the game analytically. He was once one of those guys that people would look at and say, "Oh man, he's so bold. Oh man, he's so analytically driven. He makes really smart decisions." But that was 10 years ago. I mean, now the league has caught up with him. He's really not as advanced as he once was. But that said, he is one of the best names on the market, which is why I grapple with this firing Kapler decision, because the manager market isn't that vast. There's no names that really, you know, aside from maybe Girardi, there's no names that really like pop out to me, but you know, Madden's one of those. If you didn't like Gabe Kapler, you're probably not gonna like Joe Maddon. That's my theory. But
Showalter and Buck Showalter and Mike Scioscia also in the discussions. Certainly,
Scioscia's a no for me.
Yeah,
that's not... straight no.
Straight no. I think that would be a big step back.
Actually, he's been Angels, hasn't he, all his career?
Yep.
On the World Series.
He's just very bullheaded. He's you know, he does what he wants to do and when he wants to do it. There's really no convincing him. And I don't think he's a very good collaborator. A manager needs to be a really good collaborator. And I don't think he doesn't fit the org. He's not the right choice. He's just not.
And what about Dusty? What about Dusty?
Dusty Wathen?
Mm.
I actually really like Dusty Hoffman. I like the idea of Dusty Hoffman. I know people would probably rather a little more recent experience, but that said, I really do like the idea of him at least getting an interview, and definitely, you know, giving him a shot, perhaps. I really like that idea for sure.
But surely after, because he hasn't managed before, has he? Has Dusty?
After what happened with Gabe,
I'm sure they're going to focus on more of an experienced manager than an unknown. Because it would be a big gamble, when, especially as we're meant to be 2020 is a year we're meant to be really contending and trying to win that division.
I think that it could like be a gamble, but we have to be careful as well that as fans and as an organisation that we don't say, well, our last manager didn't have any experience and that didn't go well. Therefore, that means that no future manager can come in who doesn't have experience and do well, because we're just looking at one random speck in the history of the Phillies, you know, and that could be any old speck. You could take any manager and discuss that. Can I just say I'm putting my vote in for, well, Girardi ideally, but I don't think it's going to happen. Realistically, my vote goes in for Buck Showalter. Go and get the guy, experienced and well-spoken, and I get a good feeling from that guy. My vote is for Buck Showalter. Come at me, hate me in the comments on the new website. No, thank you very much.
Mic drop.
If we say no to, not say no, but if we don't get Girardi, I think I agree with you. I think, you know, Showalter has a really good reputation for quick turnarounds, and for, you know, making for because, you know, he with that Orioles team in, what was it, 14, 15? I can't remember.
14, well, when they made the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, they weren't the strongest team in the whole world. And, you know, he got to bring Manny up. And he has this reputation for being able to take a team, learning it quickly, and turning them around. And
which is exactly what we need.
Right. And if we're looking for, you know, a guy for, I don't know how long we're going to keep this current manager or how long we're going to, you know, but if we make the playoffs next year and then after that, you know, continue on from there. If we make the World Series, if we do this, if we do that, like, you know, feel it out. And he doesn't have to be the permanent guy, but I do like him in the position that we're in right now, in terms of a quick turnaround, in terms of a semi old school guy that also has an open mind that will listen to the analytic departments and things like that. I like the idea. I definitely do.
Has he been Orioles his whole career as well?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so was I. I know he's got a winning percent record of 506 out of 3,069 games in charge.
Also, that was really skewed by what was it last year when he went 47 and won something? Can't remember.
I had his stats and I've lost. Yeah,
when the poor guy had like Chris Davis hitting like 120 or something. he's managed a few teams. He managed the Yankees, the Diamondbacks, the Rangers, and then his longest stint was at the Orioles.
I forgot about Buck Showalter's Yankees. That's funny.
And he's had three managers of the years as well, awards.
Yes, he's very good.
Some going. It's the best. More than anybody else. I don't know a lot about Buck, so I'm relying on you two on this one.
He, to me, feels like, well, like I said, the reason that he has so many Manager of the Year awards is because he's come into other clubs and he's turned them around so vastly that, you know, people are impressed. And I think if I'm looking at this market and I take Joe Girardi off the board because, you know, he's Joe Girardi and he's going to go to a supreme, like, obvious, you know, these guys have to make the World Series now or they bust kind of deal. Yeah. I think he's off the board kind of for us, but there's been nobody linking him to us. But I think Showalter seems like the most obvious pick, but also seems like the best option.
Yeah, and I think Madden's off the board as well for exactly the reason you said, because I feel like they're scared that if they bring Madden in, people are going to say, well, this is just an older version of Gabe Kapler, and now I'm annoyed.
He's so directly linked to the Angels that I feel like it's a no contest at this point.
Yeah, so, and like you said, Alex, Phillies need a quick fix. Phillies are wanting to contend now. You know, it's they've built it up to now.
Also, if
look at this.
We're in Vermont.
Look at this viewers. Those listening on the podcast version are just like, what are these guys talking about?
If you're listening on the podcast, Alex is walking us down the street in Vermont, which looks very nice.
Oh, it's gorgeous here. It's really pretty. Oh, yeah, let me figure out if I can turn the camera. Check this out.
Oh, look. Look at those check UK out viewers. Look at that scenery. I live in the New Forest. We get some beautiful scenery where I live. But I do love the American scenery. I really do. But we've got
good stuff. Yeah, well.
I think we've wrapped
just
it up.
To show everyone why I'm not on camera.
It's fine. No, it's fine, Alex. It's fine. Very quickly, Arizona Fall players. Who's catching your eyes, guys, out there? There's Alex Bohm, I know, is starting to, and Spencer Howard are two players which are really looking good.
Don't forget about my man Connor Siebold, who is absolutely destroying. I would need to pull up the statistics. I just tweeted about it. I think he's logged, 15.2 innings. He's struck out like 22 or something of the sort, and he's given up one earned run. A single earned run. What's important to note about him, I'm actually interviewing him in a couple days. He has changed his delivery. He got a lot of, if you guys remember Bronson Arroyo, he got a lot of Bronson Arroyo comparisons when he was a younger prospect. And then he got hurt, and he changed his delivery, bumped some velocity, and now he is kind of, he's throwing a lot more heat, but he's also got this horrifically good slider that it's nigh unhittable. So he's definitely one to watch. Right now he's like Pipeline's number 30 prospect, which shows how much they know about our prospect system. But he's definitely higher. So don't worry about that. But he'll be due to start in AAA, as will Spencer Howard, who is also killing it. He has like a 3.14 ERA. He's nailing it. Changeup looks amazing. Curve looks a lot better than I remember it. And the fastball, his last start, he sat 96 to 98, which is, typical. He's also, remember, it's the Arizona Fall League. He's not going full out.
And we should see our first glimpse of these guys in spring, shouldn't we?
Yes, we should. They should get the invite, as should Alec Bohm, who is also, he's still batting in the 300s, hit his first home run.
Moniak started slow, didn't he? He's starting to warm up, I've seen.
But he's four for his last eight, so I'm not particularly worried. As well as Jojo Romero started slow, but he just pitched another scoreless inning last night. He's got like a 1 point. Sorry if you guys can hear the cars coming.
That's fine.
He's got a 1.08 ERA, I believe, over 8.2 innings, which is, I think that's, I can't remember, but he's also killing it. So it's good. It's all good news from the Arizona Fall League. So that's exciting.
Perfect. Well, guys, thank you very much. I'm sure when the Phillies do announce the new manager, we will pull on an emergency podcast and get that one there quickly. Like I said, guys, look out for the tweet where we launched the website. It's hopefully coming Monday where we are. Ryan's thumbs up. Oh, Alex has come to say goodbye. Oh, we got all thumbs up.
Thumbs up,
please. Come on.
lovely stuff, guys. Thank you for listening and for watching. And we'll be back on when the Phillies announce a new manager, hopefully some new coaches. And we'll know who's hit free agency by then as well, hopefully. So, again, plenty to discuss and talk about. But in the meantime, guys, have a great weekend. Talk soon.
Ring the bell, guys. A real pleasure.
Let's go.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.